Welcome, everybody, to the October 26th Finance and Facility Committee meeting. If you would take a moment and review and approve the minutes from the October 13th, 2015 meeting. Good. Any other? Good. All right. With that, we'll approve those minutes. We will jump into the 2016-2017. And just so everybody knows, I apologize, we made a change to the finance and full board regarding the FGM Amendment 40, Hadley Junior High School roof replacement. And we'll address that in a moment. But just for those in the crowd, we do have a blue sheet that denotes a change in that agenda. And we'll get into that as we wrap up that 2016-2017 capital projects. So with that, I'll ask Dave to jump in, but really this will be more of a board conversation. Anything, Dave or Becky, that you guys want to add to the conversation? Dave?
No. And this is to the amendment or to the capital project?
This is capital projects, okay. And then we'll go back to the amendment toward the end.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's what you said.
Okay. And this is an opportunity, you know, for our board, as you've reflected on the really that fiscal 16 school year, that list that Dave, myself, Becky, and others have put into play for the next fiscal year. Are there any thoughts, suggestions, ideas on that priorities list?
So I'll take
it. Okay.
There are lists on the second page of the presentation that was part of the package. Capital projects 2016 to 2017. It included everything that you presented to us except the roofs, right? Did it include everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was everything in
everything
the presentation,
that was in the,
presentation
yep. Yep.
Minus the roof.
Correct.
They had these.
They had the roof. Correct.
Correct. And that comes up to $1,039,000 on your presentation. I went through it and kind of just put things in the four categories. I called it high priority, semi-high, mid, and then low. So, and then I kind of had one where I thought was important. It was in one of your later ones that I would want to move up if mm-hmm. we could, if things worked out that way. So I'll just go through. Most of mine are high, and I don't know. So I think I'm just going to go through my semi-high and my mid and then my low.
Okay.
And then just assume everything else. Put it under my high. But the sound systems, I do think they need to be replaced, and that falls in the semi-high. That doesn't mean I don't want to do it. It's just kind of where that it hit in my category. $65,000. Mid was the I didn't understand totally the additional concrete at Churchill's main entrance. What was going on there?
That's just that grass triangle that's in the front entryway.
Went by there the other day to check it out. Okay.
Yeah. So it used to have a tree in there that died. That's the one that died. So that's removed. But their main kids enter that. And so when they do their lineups in front of the building, the kids are in that area in the mud and stuff. But then when we get snow, it gets kind of, a lot of snow gets piled in there too. So then the kids can't form their lines in there. So it really kind of spreads the traffic out there. So they just would like that all some, you know, solid concrete surface there.
Okay. And concrete's the best surface to put it on? Put in there?
Yeah, I mean, for snowplow maintenance, probably. I mean, there was some talk from the PTA. They were talking about doing some brick pavers and stuff in there. I mean, with the snow blowers and that sort of thing, you know, brick kind of moves a little bit, so you run the risk of, you know, you can chip on them.
Recently, we made a change at Ben Franklin where we took what was, help me out, the wood chips, and we made a more or less a big bike path all the way out to the KTL.
Oh, right to the west, yeah.
To Taylor,
right.
Eventually Taylor.
Yeah.
And how's that working out? Is that working out good there?
I believe so. I mean, we increased the width of it because originally it was only 6 feet, but we went up to, I think, 8.5 now, so we need a snowplow on there.
Okay.
And then that's just asphalt. That's not
there. Right, that's asphalt.
Yeah.
It looks like a bike path.
Right. I mean, we could put an asphalt surface in there too, but I don't
everything
know,
else is concrete.
Everything else is concrete around it.
Okay. So that's a good explanation. Probably moving up to a semi-high. So I appreciate that. And the three that I had low were the last three, the lockers. and then the snow equipment, no particular order. I think for me, I definitely want to understand the locker upgrades, like the snow equipment that you were, when you were talking, it seemed like it was a low in the scheme of things. I think Kurt had some ideas that were going to be explored that felt good, depending on personnel availability. During high snow times, you might not have park district personnel availability because there could be a priority before ours.
Right.
I would guess, because people are using the stuff at the same time mostly, but that was something that was kind of out there. So I put those last three as my low. And then the one I kind of wanted to see to come in, and I did mention this, I think, to Paul, maybe you guys, was LMCs. Mm-hmm. We kind of pushed them back, and that's you said that because that's why Ben Franklin ended up
right,
on there twice, doubled up. You don't have two LMCs, but you do. So to me, if there's availability in the budget, I think that's a nice. We did it at Lincoln. I think we were there. It looked really nice, and like to move them back up to where they were. And I think the reason they were moved down, if I'm correct, was the roof. There was only so much in the budget.
Correct.
And the roof Fred Hadley were quoted at, you know, somehow with design $650 or so, maybe right. $700. So that's my review of it. I think for other people discuss it.
I was kind of the same way, Joe. Those last three, you know, is it about $180,000? You know, is it some the snow equipment? I don't know why. Maybe it's because I wouldn't buy a $26,000 snowblower because I don't have that much space. But I mean, did we look into the private contractors, Dave?
They have offered that service, and we could go with that. I just don't know. Their service really is only probably a one-time, like they wouldn't come back throughout the day, so they could get it. So they may be either 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock, and if it's still snowing, we probably still would have to keep up with the sidewalk. So we'd have to pay that cost each time they came out and shoveled. It's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but have we never considered a long-term agreement? Like my neighbor, he has a guy that comes every time it snows, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., or whatever.
We do have that for plowing our big lots with a contracted service. They did offer the sidewalk last year, but this is a new company that we had, so we wanted to try them out with the plowing first to see how they did. But now, I mean, that we've added a lot more sidewalks to our facilities, that might be something that we could look at.
So I'm also lost on the logic. This is for one, right?
Correct.
So you would, I mean, one, you would do one school, go to the other schools, and if it's still snowing, you're starting all over again.
Correct. Yeah, that one person would kind of be in that vehicle and just go from school to school to school during the snow.
Is that enough? I don't want to buy four. Is one enough? Is one enough? Because if one's inefficient, are we saying let's buy something that's going to be an inefficient process?
I don't think it's any. I think we would need more than one just because getting it at all the schools, like Hadley, you know, opens up a little bit earlier. So it just depends on when the snow comes. But Hadley almost could use that machine by itself. But, you know, it's got a plow on it. It also has a salt spreader on the back. So not only can you plow or you get several different attachments, but you could do the snow plowing and then salt all in one thing rather than do your walk behind snowblower and then come back and load up with salt. And
so you have one for 26. Are you looking to buy more in the future that's just not on this budget?
It would be nice if we could do that, but again, we run into issues. We don't have storage at all. Like, it'd be perfect to store it at the facility, but we don't have that capability right now. So,
well, then if it goes back to my question, then are we buying one? Are we buying an inefficient process for one? Because if it's going to just stay at Hadley at the entire time, this is
well,
a
if we just had the one, we would just dedicate one person from here. That in the snow, that's what they did. They would go out and they'd be on sidewalks. And they just stay in the machine until.
And how would they move from school to school?
There's a road speed on it, so you could get down the side roads with it. It's got a cab light.
Have you just taken maybe the last 2 years out of it, but you could have three snow days to you guys actually doing sidewalks? Relatively important for an expenditure like this. I mean, obviously, if you. We have a light snow year, you're not getting your bang for your buck. Anybody who's bought a snow blower knows.
Right.
You know, if you buy it, you can guarantee that there's no snow that next year. About all you can do.
Let's fight for them.
Yeah. Just for the whole community.
Yeah. Sprinkle them all over the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it's just one thing. You have ongoing maintenance with it. I like to go back to Kurt's idea that the park district has these, right, Kurt? That's what you said.
Well, yeah, I think Paul just said that they don't, and I'm reading into this a bit. My gut feeling is, I verified this a bit, was that the capacity issue isn't that they really have a capacity issue. The problem is everybody wants their stuff done by 8 o'clock in the morning, us and them. Right. So that should be a capacity issue.
Because they do in front of all the parks, all the sidewalks.
It's the problem I brought up at the time.
Right.
When everybody wants it done.
Right.
All right.
But you know, when you think about it further, though, it's interesting to me when you pull up the Lincoln, their parking lot is really part of the street. So to me, there's times when the village has gone through and plowed that, and the parking lot's not plowed yet. To me, that area, Forest Glen, the village is going by there. I mean, there's some things I think we could probably talk to the village. Hey, can you guys make another swoop through there and just take that out? You know, that would solve a couple problems there. Again, the parking lot issue. I guess for me, when I see Benny at Lincoln out in front, he's using a little snowblower. Is there a possibility that we could not spend $26,000, but could we buy a bigger, more efficient one that's maybe $800 or $1,000 or something that at all four of the schools? And then even Hadley again. Is there a possibility with the village that or another entity that's going to be going by there? I don't know. I mean, maybe even the city a week, but even if we toss them a bone and pay them a couple of dollars, it just seems cheaper than spending $26,000 on something that really, to your point, we probably could handle Hadley, but then we're still kind of stuck there. Right. Maybe we buy more. Maybe the village can make the sweeps at two of the schools, and then we can figure out what to do, and maybe we buy a little bit nicer snowblower at the other schools to do the sidewalks, or
and you guys have actually too, right? Yeah, we did budget. We have we're going to have two stage, a little bit bigger 24-inch ones, because those paddle snowblowers they're great for light snows, but they're really not. They don't hold up very well, so we're constantly replacing the rubber paddles and the scrapers, and plus they just don't run very well and it's super cold out.
And this though is mainly a sidewalk machine, though. It's not doing
parking lots. No,
so
we got a 6 foot plate on it.
Getting the village to help and driving some good idea and making that sweep of the parking spots on doesn't help your sidewalks, but I just think having one is not going to be efficient to get all these to all five schools in the time you're going to want to give them into. I think all the alternatives is going to suggest it makes sense. I think that do you have other devices? Do you have riding lawnmowers and things like that?
No, we don't. We don't have any mowers.
Because that's what people adapt into this stuff too.
Right.
But it seems to be lower on your list too when you were presenting.
So there's 16 inches of snow.
Oh, yeah,
that's high on Dave's list.
Yeah.
Shovel.
So what I'm hearing is looking at, again, alternative methods, either different snow blowers or different ways to attack this problem through cooperation with different districts or cities.
Yeah, I like what Kurt said about, especially where you point out Forest Glen and Lincoln, that might be a simple way to get that area plowed.
To hear that correctly, it does not appear to be a high priority on the board interest either. So we'll look at other alternatives to get the snow removed.
And I'm okay, like I said, I'm okay. It sounds like you've already started to do it. I'm okay with some maybe more efficient snowblowers, because part of the problem, I think, is really they're trying to move the snow and it's taking forever.
Yeah.
The machine is not.
Well, and it's hard at Churchill because there's, Lincoln's got some stairs too, and some of the lighter snows you can use the snow equipment on there. But so he's got a hand shovel, plus he's got to, do all the sidewalks as well. So just depending on the time of the snow can be, but then we do like the main entrances of the buildings, the stairways, and then while school's in, then they continue to keep going around the school.
So Dave, we're trying to solution here, but that's your job. But any of the grass mowing equipment that you have that you can attach trailers on,
are we ready? We don't have any lawn equipment.
Park District was there this morning. Well,
were they? Yeah,
I'm doing it probably way faster than I think.
Yeah, I believe they used to have a John Deere tractor here, but I don't know. Maybe they was here.
They're using one of them.
Cool. Is that an option then? I mean, that
to
much
get those out. Tractors to.
To get the size that we need, I'd probably be under 10,000. Because you have to have the horsepower, you have to have be four-wheel drive, because two-wheel drive with chains, just, it's, you're not going to, especially the length of the sidewalks at Lincoln, you know, it's a block long, so when you get a two-inch snowfall, by the time you get halfway through, that little blade, the snow will be rolling up over the top of the blade, you know, so it's really more for homeowner stuff.
I do think at the end of the day, the next time we're doing an IGA, we ought to consider something that is amenable to the park district, because you know, say they're using it for basketball at night or whatever, at least we gave you the IGA that doesn't speak to snow.
Mm-hmm.
We could add that at certain times that aren't their height time. I mean, you can't overburden them. You know, you don't want to over-negotiate an IGA, but at the same time, they're not doing it 5 p.m., and that's when they use our building, so mm-hmm. I think we should add that into the IGA. For snow plowing.
That's a good point. I mean, they are using
it's in there now, but it's only if they have a special event and they quantified that by, I don't know if it was
that's
two or three or very minimal. And I think that's just during the basketball season. They use Churchill there, I think. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
But we could maybe, kind of what Joe was saying is, let's say they've cleared and you know there's some snow that's fallen throughout the day, they're caught up. I don't know, but
yeah, they brought up the maintenance of the lakes, which Foxcroft and Lake Ellen plus the man made ice rinks. That same equipment they use in sidewalks grooms the ice. Mm-hmm. So
well, we just need it for half an hour in school.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what an IGA is for, is to each third party benefits, and I think if they do those IGAs and then they get the lawn cut, but
yeah,
you know, maybe it's flips a little on our side for a while and then goes back to their side to turn down the engine.
Patrick, were you finished with your thought process?
Well, then I was going to go to the lockers.
But we need to finish up.
How many more years can we get out of those lockers?
The Ben Franklin and Forest Glen, I think you can probably get several more years out of them. It's just some of the interiors are rusted. The paint is in really bad shape, you know, so the latching systems, especially at Hadley, that's where we have the biggest problem because it's a three-point latch. The system we go to is a single point with the combination lock right in the handle, so it makes it easier because kids forget the lock or the padlocks, then their locks get stolen or they put them on upside down. And so, but the maintenance, like, lockers get jammed all the time, so the custodians are going there. Forest Glen and Ben Franklin's are original, you know, I think, to the building, so we would have talked about
Ben
painting them.
Ben Franklin's have been the 1920s?
I believe so, unless they were changed.
Wow.
So
what are they, wooden boxes?
To go back and
I was going to say.
they're in bad shape, too. I mean, if paint them,
build
money
last.
That's a good thing about them.
So we were looking at repainting those, but the money to repaint them, they really have to be stripped down because they've been painted so many times and they're just in.
Can I ask you a question about the Hadley lockers? Do they swing into the side locker right next to it? Do they go up? Is it sort of
they do, yeah. They open up, yeah.
Because I thought that was a PBL.
It was.
Okay, I thought I was at a PBL.
Need you on open.
Trying to solve the issue and it was a latch solution to have it go like 75% of the way. So you're like when you're on an airline and somebody's reclining their seat, does it go all the way into it?
Probably with the lockers.
Yeah, that's what it seems.
And these numbers, they don't take into account any contingencies or anything that comes up that.
No, this is just for the actual items. I believe, though, in the soft cost allowances, there would not be that $209,000 there. So
it shouldn't be there?
Well, I'm not saying there would be. I mean, if the roofing project goes, or there's going to be architect costs, so there's going to be some soft costs, but I don't think it's going to be 13% of that $1.6 million project.
Patrick, you good?
Yeah.
Good.
I guess for me, and I'm not sure, you know, what the, if there's any cost savings. I'm not sure, I guess, why we even have lockers in, you know, those two schools. I just sort of tear them out and put the cubbies in like they have at Lincoln, the great schools. But,
yeah, we can look into that and get, you know, see what that would take.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing the pricing on that. You know. So that was where I was kind of at with that. The
could be pretty.
I'm not, you know, I guess for me, if concrete and Churchill is necessary, I'm kind of back to, I don't know why we're, in those buildings, I don't know why we're sending everybody through one doorway anyways. They should, to me, be going in their classrooms. That's how they were designed. They're there. The doors are there. So they did it for 50 years anyways. So we've switched something. Now here's a cost, probably unintended at the time. So it's, if it has to be done, I guess it has to be done. But and then for me, really, you know, I'm kind of on, you know, I look at, for me, the LMCs are not unimportant to me. Again, I'm back on the same position I took with Lincoln. We have a facilities task force taking a look at all of our buildings. We should be waiting for those recommendations to come back from the task force before we do anything. I don't think waiting a year until we get that report back is going to harm any of the kids, you know. So, and, you know, I, again, maybe this is just my own deal, but I walk into Lincoln's and I stand there and think, I don't know, we're $125,000 out of whatever it was. So it looks like some fresh paint, some new carpeting, and some furniture. But so those would be very low on my priority list. And then really for me, roofs to be, you know, that outside infrastructure, that stuff to me is justified when we need it. We need to stay on top of that and ahead of it, because if you get behind that kind of stuff, you can do a lot of extra damage internally. So I know we put that on hold, but for me, roofing kind of costs, that kind of stuff to me, from a structural standpoint, would be important to me more so than, you know, I go back to Stephanie, you know, I says, what's a want versus a need? And, you know, needs are roofs, wants are, you know, LMCs and you know, whether we need new lockers. So that's kind of where I'm at with all that.
We levy for these last year, right? So last year's levy for this year's cost for these numbers, right?
It will be, these expenditures will be out of the 2016-17 year, so it will be out of the levy that you will approve in December.
Because it's for next year's budget.
Correct.
Well, on the roofs, I totally agree that they're a need, because on the roof, obviously, they're in trouble. Unless I guess you're why you're out there learning. But when you do it is very important from a fiscal standpoint. So, I know it was a table to do more testing. So, I think that's appropriate.
We can jump into it right here.
Can I ask a question?
Please ask.
I apologize. Since I was late. I just had a couple of quick questions for Dave. I didn't know, did you already talk about the playground upgrades? First thing I wanted to check for the Ben Franklin ADA playground upgrades, is that going to include equipment for the kids that can't, you know, like if they like have to crawl or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we've got the swings, and then there's going to be one piece of equipment you can kind of like sit in it and get some movement there. There's
okay.
A transfer
so
back
this
on
is
it.
The same stuff you showed us?
Yeah, the power. Okay. Yeah.
There's no change from the power.
No.
Okay.
Is it a full set of swings or is it just?
It's just two. It's only two handicap swings.
The other thing I was wondering, you know, I know we're updating Franklin, but I see we have Churchill Playground and then down the road in 2018, Forest Glen and Abraham Lincoln, but I'm wondering if we need to, if we're considering that, making those playgrounds, because we're spending a lot of money. That seems like a lot. I have no idea.
It's not, that this
I
is
have no idea how much playgrounds cost, a lot of money, but I trust what's happening here, but if we just considered making those accommodations since we're spending.
Well, when those playgrounds come, life expectancy for a playground is 15 years, roughly. So some of our playgrounds, the reason we're doing Churchill is because we had to remove it because it was our oldest playground from, I think, 90-something, 8 or 99. So it didn't even meet some of the newer codes. So this playground is to replace that. And in that space, which we're going to go out to bid for, it may increase the price a little bit, but hopefully not as board in place rubber for that entire playground space. That way, the cost for maintenance and wood chips over the years just makes it. So as I think we do the playgrounds, they all will have ADA components in it because that's required by the law. You have to have so many lower elements as what you have as upper elements play. So we'll incorporate that in these playgrounds, you know, as we go through and do the replacements for them.
What about putting swings at all the playgrounds? I know parents have asked me about that.
Yeah, but that's really not. They're great for smaller settings, but when you have 400 or 500 kids, like the kids running in front of the swing areas, it's just you only can do two swings in a bay, so you can only they need to take up a whole entire play area, so you wouldn't have enough swings to accommodate, you know, 150 or 200 kids that are all out at one time, and then there's a safety hazard of them running either in front of the swing or behind it as they're so they're just usually not that prevalent in the school setting. The ADA ones are for a purpose, you know, but.
Can you put those at all the schools, like the kids, the sensory issues and things
like that? Yeah, we could do that eventually, yes.
OTs at all the schools that probably would.
Again, our playground areas, there's certain codes for space issues, so we would probably have to add a block on to the existing play area so that swing is in its own space. But anything is possible. It's just, I think as we do the playground upgrades, we just make sure that we make sure there's enough ADA things in there. And then go with the port in place rubber so it's accessible to 100% of the playground versus just a little, you know, 15 by 20 foot area.
Okay.
And then there's some ground play features, you know, there's touch panels and chimes and all sorts of things you can do for ground access.
Okay. My other question, too, and this, Paul, may be for you, but for the Ben Franklin bathroom, which I know definitely needs updated, but we've had a lot of shuffling of rooms. Can we talk about this? We've had a lot of shuffling of rooms.
I was going to go ahead.
Since you're on the committee.
No, go ahead.
We've had a lot of shuffling of rooms at Franklin, and I just want to make sure, you know, are we confident in our space and our planning and where we're doing this? Because I know one something brought up at the PTA meeting last week was that one of the kindergarten rooms is now moved to a room that doesn't have a bathroom. So is that going to become a concern? You know. For the school in the future. I just want to make sure we're taking everything into account and addressing all the needs using our space the best way we need to before we do something and say, oh, wait.
Yeah, and Karen and Michelle will also address it and the full board within their presentation on facilities. But it's something that we look at all the time. What are the best facilities? You know, when you're talking about four elementary schools, you talk about Churchill being with their dual language program, not really any additional space there. At Lincoln, with having that one level elevator, it's really a tough place without any of the ramps. It's not a really conducive to having students on that second floor with ADA access. Forest Glen has the EC pre-K, which takes up 5 classrooms. And when we really look at Franklin does have ramps, and it does have its own elevator to allow for those pieces to occur. So Franklin makes a lot of sense for us for students with physical disabilities. So as we look across our four schools, that one makes the most sense for us and why we would continue to put money into that restroom.
Well, and I guess I was even talking more as far as placement within the school.
Oh, within the school itself.
Too, you know, we made sure we've
We're not moving.
Everything into consideration, you know, for the school as a whole as far as there's probably limited places where we can do this, but
yeah,
just want to make sure we're...
I appreciate it.
You know,
taking
that into account.
No, thank you. 7 o'clock.
So we're saying... sorry, Paul.
No, I just want to...
So we're saying 2314 is... Actually, your cash basis was 1.7, 1.6 for this budget, 1.9 for the following year, 3.7 for the next year. So we're kind of from a budgeting and from a budget conversation, we're aligned for the next 2 years-ish, plus or minus 5%, and then jump up double, right? So that's a conversation that we
have the rooftop equipment conversion of unit vents and replacing
the
units, right? And the parking lot paving issues in the back.
Mm-hmm. And that one goes to somewhat of what Kurt was saying around the task force. When you see line item that has the HD replace Windows 37 of $1.2 million, you know, that's something that they've already been talking about, at least on their walkthroughs. Dave can speak to that more. I know community task force members have spoken to that issue itself. So it's why it's in that 2018.
Yeah, I guess it's, for me, I don't know how we have this conversation, but it's a conversation of, gosh, do we try to stay where we are with the line that around 1.7, say for 3 years from now, because that's going to be a big hit to your budget. That's $1 point something million that A, you're going to have to levy for, or B, you're going to have to cut something else $1.7 million. Otherwise, you're not going to have the revenue to support that, right?
Mm-hmm. So those conversations with the facility task force, finance, where are we heading?
Well, again, for me, I mean, you know, you can look at the list, you can make it. You're probably putting in, hey, this is everything that I can think of that we need coming up over the next 5 years. I mean, that you can foresee. And again, the board, like anything, is going to really have to decide what's a want versus a need, and try. And so for me, the building part of it, that's for me, the maintaining the buildings is probably the most important thing for me. So, however we do that, and however staff makes recommendation on budgeting, I know when I was in the park district, we had things that just they kept getting moved off because they just were not that great a need. So, you can look at it and you can be concerned about a $3 million figure, but does it have to be that in 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of my point. If these things have to be done in 3 years, if there's a 85% possibility that something's going to have to be done in 3 years, why don't we try to move it up 2 years next year and the following year? So from a finance group, we're talking about a $2.5 million capital outlay instead of a $3.7 million. Let's do it now. Why we got, I don't want to say got the funds, but let's do it now so the hit impact is smaller 3 years from now. This is exactly what we need to be thinking about from a long-term vision.
So it seems like you're saying prioritize this stuff as in the must-have stuff and start to set aside those funds now or start doing part of the projects now.
Let's just say Forest Glen's plate, I don't know, use that one. Let's just use Hadley Bridge replacement, $75,000. If that's going to be done because they're going to fall down in year four and we're going to replace them in year three, let's move it up to next year so we take that 75 hit now and we reduce this 3.7 hit in 3 years so the finance committee in 3 years...
See, flatten out.
Yeah, right.
So you're not seeing this big
stuff. Exactly.
Partly the reason why we're going to move this, Paul said, though, is to get the task force recommendations on the Hadley thing since that's where the affordables are. So
right.
A lot of that should go hand in hand.
So let's look at Forest Glen's ejector pump replacements. I don't know what that means. But that 56 that we can pull over here.
Well, here's what I'd say to that. If my ejector pump, you don't want it to go out when you're flooding, right? I'm guessing is that for the utilities? Or
that's for the bathroom downstairs. Downstairs.
So. But somebody can go in there and give you a useful life for what's left. Personally, I'm not, and this goes right into the roof discussion, if you do these cores and this
infrared
thing, and you find out that there's areas on this roof that are going to last another 5 years, you wouldn't replace it tomorrow. You may find out there's areas that are in the alternate
that need to be replaced now.
So that type of, for me, from what I'm used to seeing, that type of testing and that type of recommendation come from the experts in those fields. I'm certainly, I couldn't tell you if an injector pump was going to go out tomorrow.
Yeah, but you get my idea, right?
But I'm not going to replace something early. Right. I wouldn't recommend
it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just like because there's a 3.7 in year three, there's a 2.6 in year four. So we've doubled in almost 150% in year three and doubled in year four what the original number is. That's going to be a hard nut to swallow at the finance committee in those years to say, listen, we need a double cap, possibly, you know, if it all goes pear-shaped, then we need to replace all these.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think what you're going to do is you're going to look at useful life, so you're going to take what Kurt said and say, the structural stuff needs to be taken care of when it needs to be taken care of. You don't take care of it early, because if it's working and your testing tells you it is,
you might want to voluntarily reduce your capital spending that year, though, to say, let's take some of that money and put it aside for next year.
Putting it aside,
you don't have to do it early.
In an ideal world, you own buildings, and I'm not going to get the school to answer it, but in an ideal world, you reserve it. Mm-hmm. Reserving for those capital projects that are necessary, and you don't do it early because it's a circular thing. The minute you do it early, it's going to go out early again, be it 2040 or 2030 or whenever.
I don't think anybody's saying do things early, though.
Right.
Well, then that's probably going to have to be a conversation that we've got to be prepared to have that says capital reserves is at, if I don't have the figure, the ratio, but is that whatever ratio, 1.7 ratio, and if that's, and we should be tracking about one to keep the ratings of the organizations, then we say, okay, then let's talk about that, because we need to put that out there. If we're below reserves already and we're going to spend 1.6 and 1.9, this is not thinking long term with your money here. You got to be prepared. If we as a finance committee say, let's increase our reserves, let's take the 180 from lockers and blah, 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 we're staying at 1.6, but let's put that in reserve because that's going to be entitled for year three and year four.
I agree.
Yeah.
I would, you cut today to save for tomorrow is what you're saying, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
And once you do
or you move projects up that need to be, and you're right.
Either way. I don't want to
move them up.
Can I ask a question, Joe?
Yes, I have one other point that I forgot, so go ahead and ask it now.
I was just going to ask, were you saying that some of the 2018 projects may not, there are things that need done, but depending on what happens with the Facilities Task Force and the plan at Hadley, they may fall off the list? Is that what you were saying?
No, that wasn't what I meant.
Okay,
I didn't imply that. No, what I said is you will see, if they have a solution that includes removing the 14, whatever, the portables that are left, 10, thank you, 10 portables that are left, you're going to, in my opinion, you're going to want to look at what else is going to be taken care of in Hadley, and since you're going to have construction people out there, and look at these other jobs, because you should get a little economies of scale when you're doing that. They may say, these are things that need to replace and add things to your list. So your scope of work would increase, and hopefully the price would come down to the economies of scale. So I think it's prudent to wait to see what they say to do that. There's other benefits of waiting, because they may have some other ideas on solutions that we didn't think of for air conditioning or whatever.
So some of this was budgeted or put in that year too, because we want to group the HVAC equipment, so we're not doing something 1 year. Because some of the things are interconnected, so it makes sense to do the rooftop and the unibus and all at one time. So we're bidding the big plan, not
it's an integrated system that's better to put in installed all at the same time. Which reminds me of what I forgot. So some of these items we put off, and Dave talked about this last time. The fire panels. They've been kind of going for a while, and we put them off, and then they're not in budget yet. We have emergency funds that we need to find to do it, and some of that could happen in some of those items that are way out there too. So
to move the conversation a little bit further, we're at 7:10. Still have a few items to get to. I think Dave and I have heard some reprioritization, again, based off of the board feedback, especially towards that bottom tier of lockers, and really looking towards possibly other years to move forward, or to put that into fund balance for future purchases.
I would prefer to put it in the fund balances for future purchases.
Okay.
Instead of adding items onto this list.
And instead of moving from year to year over.
And the one that I would like to hear about is the big item at the bottom is they have in lockers.
Okay.
I think summarizing the snow equipment's on hold.
Yep.
So we have an idea about what it's cost to rip it out and just what comes in.
Yep.
If we get a decent price on that, maybe it makes the list. And then the having of lockers. It's at the bottom of this list. I almost feel like this is a priority list, Dave. So
yeah.
It's pretty worth it. And I've heard, I moved it from an X to a mid, and I don't necessarily want to do mids, but I kind of want to understand it a little more before I take it off the list.
So we have a little bit of work. We'll have a little bit of work. We'll come back. We'll send you some information on the cost for the locker tear-out cubbies, those pieces, and the Hadley lockers as well. What's really behind those Hadley lockers?
Churchill
M1C 2. In Churchill M1C forward. Kurt said no.
Kurt said no.
You said yes.
I wanted to look at it.
So just bring that back for just further discussion at the full board.
That's probably fair.
Does that sound fair?
With the task force out there, you know, the task force not really looking at Churchill, but maybe they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it should be a discussion point.
Okay.
We can maybe just tighten that up to just do carpeting and
there you go.
Like not furniture, but the carpeting is in like.
You're talking about Churchill. Churchill's carpeting isn't there.
So that in the office, and then you know if we needed to do some paint touch-ups, maybe it's not 175. Like that was trying to include some new furniture, circulation desk or something. But maybe we can hold off on that and just do the carpeting because they're on mobile carts pretty much.
So we'll bring that all of this back to full board at the next meeting for further discussion, for full board discussion. Sound okay?
And I know you're trying to. Well, I just had one question.
Oh, no.
So I don't
Sorry.
The, you know, and I was looking at this. I meant to ask this last night. And I know I've been off the park board for 10 years, and I know there's inflation. But, man, these playgrounds are expensive. I mean, I don't remember ever. I think, was I wrong, or didn't we do playgrounds for like $30,000 at the park?
No, that's just for the piece of equipment. You could spend, like Village Green, for instance. I want to say the playground equipment piece itself was 160-ish, and then we got that at a show price. Normally it was like 195. That's just for the equipment, and that's a third of the cost for installation, wood chips, drainage, stone, border.
But that's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's putting that in
the killer. The kids would love it.
This is actually bare bones, like equipment-wise, just... A big portion of the cost though is a poured in place rubber, but it's almost maintenance wise. You got to have it with the amount of kids that are on it every day. It'll pay for itself, you know, a lot over. So, and plus it makes it ADA accessible all over. If there's wet areas, they can stand that playground. They don't have to go in the grass, you know, because we made that big asphalt area plus the other wood chip playground, and then this one that's close to the building that'll have a little bit age appropriate play pieces for the smaller kids then.
I'm good. Trying to understand that.
No, good question. Just to touch base on the roof piece. I apologize.
I just have a real quick question.
Okay.
I know we're looking at the capital projects for 16. The 17 and 18 ones, I mean, is that we're also discussing that, or is that...
Probably in the bigger picture. I think right now what we're trying to hone in on is that 2016, really, so we can give Dave... the marching orders to go forth and bid, but the 16, 17, 18, 19 is kind of that bigger picture of how does everything fit within the larger context of the budget, and how do things prioritize, and where do they fit in with the task force? So for tonight, I think we're really trying to hone in on what do we want as we move forward, so we can get Dave and his crew getting bids and all of those pieces working for the June work dates that he needs them by.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, that does.
Okay. So just touching quickly on the roof. We're not tabling the roof. I think Dave came forward with a really good idea of how about we look. We work directly with the roof, the individuals who will come in and do the core work, do the infrared, without engaging in that that Amendment 40 with FGM, that we just take that piece on. We figure out what needs to be done, and if there's other pieces that need to be done, he'll just bring that back to the board to say, move forward, don't do this, engage architects to do this work. That's all that is.
Can I ask
please.
One question, just so I understand.
Sorry, I'm just
this,
like...
This
picture that you gave us,
mm-hmm. In fact, it was up. This was the architect's survey results of the areas that they thought based on their walkthrough.
Correct.
Okay. So this is just further testing. That's walkthrough.
All it is.
Maybe looking at some flashing or whatever.
Yeah. And it's the experts in the field.
Right.
Sorry.
And our square footage may be reduced because we might not need to do whole sections with the infrared and the core testing.
They'll be specific.
They'll be specific to that area. So that that scope may decrease quite a bit, which would mean that Amendment 40 should... The cost should decrease as well.
And then the overall construction.
The overall.
But these are very expensive roofs.
Yeah.
I understand that. Are they going to test in the red area also?
Yeah, both those areas, the red and the yellow.
Red were the alternate good ones in the original proposal. Thanks for that clarification.
All right. I'm going to move the architect interview process because that's going to be in the full board anyways.
Okay.
So if you're okay, if we can get Lori to jump in here for that the question pieces on the finance, facility, and operation search. So I'll hand it over to Lori.
Yeah, and then I'm going to type because I can type much faster than I can write. But I want to thank you in advance for your input and your thinking in terms of criteria for what we're looking for this particular position. So the first question talks about professional experiences. So what do you think will be important for the successful candidate to have in terms of professional experience?
Is that a certified position?
It is. Yes, yes. Sorry. It is.
What's the accreditation?
Is it CSBL?
Certification
of
School Business
Okay, I'll add some. Working, I think that having previous work experience with districts that you just kind of go back to one of your questions down below about having the school finance position. So I'm going to answer that right now. It's very important for me, and then that kind of leads me to someone who's worked with a district that has facility needs, has low commercial property within it of its taxing district. We have a different taxing body portfolio. And then one that has, I believe it's Skyward knowledge. So those are my top three. I didn't want to miss 40 more for you. So I think the top three.
I have been trying to find my notes, but Skyward is not only a system of payroll, right?
Payroll.
Right. Payroll.
It's our finance.
It's Skyward and
payroll.
Right.
That's
a. That would be kind of two different
things in a way. Because right. That's why I wanted to make sure. I meant it in the payroll.
In the payroll. Okay.
In the payroll.
Yes, that's okay.
Anyone else? Since we're low on time.
You want a number of years with that accreditation? Is that a 5 year? Is that a 10 year?
Well, to gain it, you have to have a master's degree first of all in either business administration or a master's degree. It will get you the school administration. You have to pass two tests: a basic skills test and the one for the CSBO endorsement. And then if you haven't worked through or have that that experience in the schools, you have to do an internship. Some work experience may be considered as applicable towards the internship. This is all state stuff, state requirements. But once you have it, you just have to keep it active. So it isn't like something that you only have, for 5 years. It's like a teaching license, so you have to keep renewing it. And there's professional development you have to do in there. But it isn't as if you have like a level 1 and then a level 2 and then a level 3. Does that make sense, Drew?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
And Becky, please.
I'm listening.
All right. Jump in, Lisa. All right. In terms of the envision, the ideal candidate, what personal qualities or traits does that candidate
have? My only comment was,
Well, and if you have notes and you want to send them to me later, that's fine.
They got to have the managerial experience, right? They got to be able to manage managers. A manager can manage staff, but they have to be able to manage managers as well. It's a little bit more difficult. That's delegation, that's ownership, that's responsibility.
I give you two qualities: diligent, direct, and open-minded.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Issues, problems, or challenges that will require their attention within the first few months.
They, of course, are going to be walking into the facilities conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have to be prepared to look at not only our budgets, but the financing of that. Recommendations of financing. I think that's what we found Bob a little light on, per se, I think, was the investment schedules, the financing part of it. He's able to bring in partners.
I made that investment schedule.
I'll add that to the experience part, too, it sounds like. Okay.
There's also, I don't know, programming should fall in there, like full day kindergarten. I don't know if that's covered under the umbrella of facilities or not, but... I said programming or full day kindergarten. I don't know if facilities covers that or issues, problems, challenges. That I think would be one.
Lori, what about the partnership around human resources and having that agility between the two?
You know, work very closely together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, if I move on to the next question.
Sure.
I'm moving too fast, just let me know. What do you see as mid-range, 2 to 5 years, issues, problems, or challenges?
One of the things that I put on here, Lori, is, as board members turn over, there needs to be, but there needs to be that, for me personally, the 3 to 5, 7 year long-term vision. I've always had a qualm, but I never said it, that there's a difference between budgeting and forecasting, and we don't do any forecasting here. We just do annual budgeting. So forecasting experience is 2 to 5 years, and I'd like to see somebody have a bit of that experience. Issues and problems is, I think we're just starting to delve into those, and we got into it in finance tonight, where we're seeing a doubling and a
capital needs.
Yeah.
Capital needs in 2000.
And because we're starting to look at 3 to 5 year forecasting.
Well, I think one of our goals is a reduction in the budget, right? So that.
And that goes hand in hand with the reduction of revenues potentially from the state generally. That's been out there for a while.
One of the things that I thought about was, as we've had that conversation about, a finance task force from the community. So obviously somebody that, is able to be open enough to take some direction from a committee that, hopefully in the future we set up. And I think that committee will be able to help them, if there's a weakness. Nobody's great at everything. So if they do have some weaknesses, someone, I think that finance task force can bolster some of those weaknesses. So, but the ability to be able to take information, take criticism, take suggestions, not get defensive about it, I think is important.
How important is it for the person to have experience in school finance versus kind of just financial experience?
Yeah, one of the things that I had on this one was I didn't know if the relationship with our architects and our other vendors. I don't know if that's under finance or that was just going to be a skill, but I remember putting it under here. But that first, if it's a finance position, does that traditionally include, you know, the architectural relationships and then the public does. All right, so just wanted to make sure that was covered.
It's not important for me. I think you go out and find the best candidate you can.
I guess I'd fall on some of the other side of that, and that there's a learning curve to school-based business and just the requirements. I know Becky talked a little bit about that, but just the requirements and the type of accounting practices and what you can and cannot do in terms of investments. I mean, there's just a lot of, by Illinois school code, a lot of differences in the way they have to, you know, lead finance. So I would say that at least interviewing some people that have that would at least juxtapose those, you know, those two.
And you may have strong, I don't know how big, how strong this finance staff is here, but you may have somebody that's, you want somebody to complement that, right? I mean, you have somebody who's very large in title funds or whatever. I mean, you don't want to hire a senior in title funds. You know?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, complementary.
I would say to actually support also some of what Kurt said, someone who has experience, you know, really asserting themselves in terms of any kind of finance and budgeting, and then really understanding the big picture, and that can come from a corporate base, you know, a little bit different than when you've been internal to it. So there's that value to it.
And then, in your opinion, what processes or activities are critical to the search and selection of the candidate for this position?
Recommendations and referrals.
I would echo that. I think that you can find out only so much from an interview. You're going to have to use some kind of background checking and referral checking.
Good? I think so.
Sounds
and if
we're good.
If you have anything else to think of anything on other ideas, please just send it to me. Thank you.
All right. We will conclude finance facilities at 7:27.